welcome to this workshop. I'm glad that, I see some new faces here. And my name is Tim Cole, and I run the Registrar Liaison group within ICANN. So my department oversees registrars becoming accredited and the relationship between ICANN and the registrars on an ongoing basis. So today, we've got a two-part agenda for our workshop, and the first half is going to be, I'm going to show some specifics about what it takes to apply, what the application process consists of, and then we have two representatives from large registrar companies that have a couple different business models. They're going to talk about their experience in the global environment of ICANN-accredited registrars. And then the second half, we're going to talk about the African experience, and specifically Anne-Rachelle, who is one of our global partnership, I don't know what your type, what they call the title now, but she represents this region.
Regional Relations Manager.
And then we have two representatives from African Registrar, Mohamed Diop and Victor Siza. And on my right is Jeff Eckhaus, and be nice to him. Today's his birthday. And Niha. So let me just, I want to start by going through some of these slides. And we hopefully have built in some time for questions and answers. And so if you, if something pops up, if it can wait till we finish, then we can have it then. But if it really... there's a something that you don't understand or something that isn't clear, please raise your hand and, we'll try to square that away for you, okay? So to start with, we think about the qualifications have three components to them. One is the business requirements that has to do with the company's corporate entity, as well as your ability to run a registrar, and then financial capabilities. We need to see some evidence that you have enough financial stability that you can continue running as a registrar. And then we also have a commercial general liability requirement that ICANN has an insurance requirement, but the registries also have insurance requirements. So, so we need to see either that you have the insurance or that you have the ability to get the insurance. So, and there are a number of agreements and policies that govern accredited registrars. The first one is probably the one that more people have heard about, and that is the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or RAA, and that is actually the contract between ICANN and the registrar, and it has in that agreement it has the requirements that registrars must fulfill, it has requirements that ICANN must fulfill, and then details about some of the contractual issues, but also issues about who is and other aspects of what data you need to collect and display. Then there's the registrar agreement. So once a registrar gets accredited by ICANN, they then need to go and establish contracts with the registries that they want to do business with. So, for example, if you're a registrar and you want to be able to make .com names available, then you need to have a contract with VeriSign, and so forth, with .org, PIR, .info, Afilias. So for each TLD, you have to have a relationship with the company that the registry that oversees that top-level domain. Then each registrar must have a registrant agreement. So this is the contract between the registrar and the registrar's customers. And as part of this, ICANN has some required elements that must be in that agreement. If you're going to do business with resellers, then we have certain requirements with regard to what your agreement is with the resellers. There's also something called consensus policies, and these are policies govern things like inter-registrar transfers and dispute resolution and so forth. And so those policies, and they can be adopted or changed over time, they apply to all registrars when they're consensus policies that impact registrars anyway. Some may not involve registrars directly. There's also a data escrow agreement. Thank you. That is needed because once you start registering domain names, you have an obligation to escrow data so that if something happens, if your registrar goes out of business or something, we have a way to protect your registrants and reconstruct the data so another registrar could pick up and manage your data, your customer base. And then I just have a link here for more information about all of this. This presentation is on the schedule. You can download it from the meeting schedule. So afterwards, if you want to refer back and where I have links and so forth, you can just download this and you'll have the whole presentation. Here are some fees. I just want to kind of make it give you some idea of what kinds of costs there are. The one-time application fee is $3,500 U.S., and then there is an annual accreditation fee of $4,000. The first year when you're approved, you have to pay that up front, the full amount. In subsequent years, you can elect to pay it quarterly, so you could pay $1,000 each quarter so that you, after the first year, you don't have to have all the money right away. Then there is a variable fee that is determined each quarter by the number of registrars that are active. The money is allocated across all registrars. So the more registrars there are, the lower this fee is because it's spread across more. Right now, it's approximately $1,100 each quarter. For small, especially new registrars that don't have a lot of transactions, there is a two-thirds reduction of that. In that case, you're really only talking about $300 or $400 each quarter. Transaction fees are 18 at present are 18 cents for 1 year, whether it's a new registration or a transfer or renewal. So any 1 year duration of a registration requires the payment of 18 cents. And then, of course, the other thing is that you will also have fees to pay to the registries. So, again, if you sign up with VeriSign to sell .com names, they're going to charge you. What's the current .com VeriSign fee?
It's going up.
So it's just
$734.
They arrive at these numbers by certain math. So you could offer a .com name to your customers for example, for $10 U.S., and you would have to pay $7.34 to VeriSign, and so the difference would be what you would net from that.
Plus 18 cents.
Plus the 18 cents. Yeah, plus the 18 cents. So take 18 cents out of that, too. Again, this information is available in the thing. Now, I can't read this. For some reason, I don't know why on my screen I'm not getting the right.
Displays.
I can't get the mouse.
I hit escape.
Oh, there it is. Oops, no, we didn't want to do that. Sorry. I'm sorry, folks. We'll get right on this here. Thank you.
Thank him.
Yeah, I knew there was some.
I'm not a Mac person, so I can't help him.
which is good.
Now, where's the switch display?
I think. Yeah, this one.
That is needed. And once the application is approved, ICANN will send you a copy of the Registrar Accreditation Agreement with your company's name on it, and then you need to sign and return that contract. We'll each have a copy of it, and then pay the first year accreditation fee of $4,000. Once those things are all complete, ICANN then announces to the registries that you are now a newly accredited registrar, and then you will work with them to get set up with those registries. So that's pretty much the step-by-step. And then I also wanted to mention, and Jeff may add to this, but one of the key elements about being involved with ICANN after you become accredited is through the registrar stakeholder group. That's the group that really represents the registrar's interests within the ICANN policymaking process. And through meetings like this, they meet with the board, they meet with different groups, and if as a member, you have voting rights and you can make an impact on how ICANN is run. And it's a good networking tool. So that's my little commercial for the stakeholder group. But with that, I'm going to turn now to Jeff Eckhouse from Demand Media and Enom, and let you talk a little bit about your experience and, sure. and things, so forth.
Thanks, Tim. So as Tim mentioned, the company I work for is Enom, and in my role in ICANN, I am the treasurer of the Registrar Stakeholder Group and a member of the executive committee. So what I want to start to talk about, I guess, is probably becoming an ICANN accredited registrar and some of the different methods on getting to that path that I think you might not be aware of, and maybe I can help you out with. And also, as somebody who company owns and has applied for, I don't know, 125, 130 ICANN accredited registrars. I'm very familiar with the application and the process, and it is not that formidable. It is definitely doable for most people, and Tim and Kimberly over there, others are willing, you know, to help out if, you know, with the questions. But if you think to yourself you want to become a registrar and you say, I really don't know about what systems I would need and how I could do that, there are a few paths on how to become a registrar. The first one, I think as Tim had mentioned, there's something called resellers, where you can become a reseller of a company like ours. I think there's, I don't know how many domain name registrars that offer a reseller program in all different parts of the world, where you can get set up to start selling domain names in probably a matter of hours. And you could sell email and other products. And that sort of, I think, will help you, I don't know, you know, get your feet wet, get an advantage, learn how to do that and learn the process of what happens with domains, how to work with your customers, and sort of build up your customer base. And The next step after, just once you get that and you feel comfortable, there's a pretty easy next step to become an ICANN accredited registrar. And again, a company like mine and I believe many others offer a platform where you can get your ICANN accredited registration. You can become ICANN accredited and then basically what we call plug your accreditation into their software. So you don't need to build out a whole big piece of software and that connects with the registries that has billing and all kinds of other features. There are companies that allow you to just to just sign up and start selling, and you can use your own accreditation. Because for somebody who has, as I said, 125 accreditations or more, I believe it is a good thing to be ICANN accredited. It gets you your name out there. You're the one responsible for your customers. And I think it's an advantage in that. And I'll just go to my next thing quickly, and then I'll stop for questions. But one of the reasons I think it's important to become an ICANN accredited registrar is participation in the registrar stakeholder group. Many people do not realize that we negotiate and we discuss these items like the registrar accreditation agreement, which is the contract that we have with ICANN, that we negotiate this, members of the registrar stakeholder group negotiate this with ICANN on behalf of registrars. And the registrars pick a team to negotiate, but as a member of the team, we will go back to the members and say, what are the things you want from ICANN? What are the things you want changed? What are the things that are issues for you? So by you becoming a member of the group, you have a voice in the contract that you have with ICANN. And it's not just something that's put to you and say, okay, this is, there's nothing you can do about it. For an example, one of the things we had our fees reduced. I think officially the fees are supposed to be 25 cents, and then we've had them reduced to 20 cents, and then to 18 cents. And those were all negotiations that were done by the registrar stakeholder group, by the members in the RAA. So, I encourage you guys, if you're interested, about the registrar stakeholder group, to come see me if you decide to become ICANN accredited. And you could always talk to Tim on how to reach me. But I think it's an important group, and it gives you a strong voice in the ICANN process by becoming a registrar. So I know I've spoken pretty quickly.
Can I ask you?
Yeah, sure. And then I'll open up for questions. Tim?
I just to clarify, I think you were saying earlier about often it's easier to get started as a reseller.
Yes.
So your company supports people becoming resellers, but then you also have no problem with them moving on to becoming registrars, right?
Right, so that's exactly it. If you decide you want to, you have enough experience being a reseller and you say, I want to become ICANN accredited, this is important to me, you can use the same software, the same pieces, and once you become accredited, you would be switched over. And this isn't something that's exclusive that, my company is the only one. I think there's four or five, maybe six companies that offer this type of service. So some of them might be in, regions closer to you. You might like their software better. But what I want to tell you that there are a lot of options to do that. It seems like a big step to say, I have to fill out this whole application, then I have to build a whole software system. And starting from scratch, there are ways to start slowly and build up your business before becoming an ICANN accredited registrar. So I hope that answers that question. Are there any other questions, or do you want to, Tim, are there any other questions at this time?
Any questions for Jeff? Okay. Well, at the end, we can also have a Q&A session for the whole panel as well. So now I'd like to introduce Neha. And she's going to present on another aspect of...
Sure. So what I've put together here is a few slides on the advantages of actually being an ICANN accredited registrar. And since we're time-bound, I'm going to run through them a little quickly. So the first is a profit advantage, which is obviously you're buying directly from the registry as opposed to being a reseller. So there is one advantage there, and we've just put a rough percentage in terms of what we've seen out there compared it to what you would buy from another registrar versus buying directly from the registry. So depending on the TLD, we see it ranging from about 12 to 44%. Some TLDs priced higher. When you start off, depending on your volumes, you know, the savings might be relatively small. But as you grow, if you can see the graph out there, the gap between being a reseller and a registrar increases, right? So you see more and more savings with your volumes growing. Registry promos. You get direct access to registry promos. And this is just a small list of some things that registries have been doing recently. But, you know, that's something that you will have access to, and it adds to... Right. So, in terms of registry promos, you will have the opportunity to work directly with the registry, and you'll get access to, you know, some of the things that you may not be able to have access to being a reseller. So, this is just a brief list of some of the promos last year. There are also registry marketing grants, which is basically we've seen more and more registries work with registrars to fund, you know, marketing initiatives and opportunities to increase awareness and therefore increase their domain registration base. And this is, again, you know, co-marketing funds from a couple of registries that we've seen registrars take up. So, yeah, there's that. And that comes along with upfront discounts on domain names. Maybe, you know, you're probably wondering why registries are out there sponsoring this much in terms of activities. Right now, we're seeing a surge in registry activity, and that's probably because the new GTLDs are around the corner. They want to ensure that they get, you know, high market share, and that's why they're working extremely actively with the registrar community. ICANN has a policy which says that every registrar needs to have equal access to any new promo or any new policy that the registry, you know, sets out. And so irrespective of where you are or your size, you will have access to that registry promo as and when it's launched. Adding to the profit advantage, there is also parking of expired domain names, something that, you know, not all resellers have the opportunity to do. There was something, I mean, if it's done well and if it's done in a reasonable way where you give your customers the opportunity to actually renew their names, but you park the domain the moment it expires, you are able to expand your, you know, your profit and get some money out of that part of the domain lifecycle. So moving on from the profit advantage to, you know, the other advantages that an ICANN accreditation adds, there's increased marketability. So domain names are basically the entry point to getting you to be able to sell other services such as hosting, website design, website builder, etc. So domain names are just that one entry point. And if you are a registrar, you're more likely to be the choice of, you know, someone who wants to buy domain names and then buy other services from you. You do then get the opportunity to target international markets. Being a registrar, you know, you become a reliable source, and so you can reach out and move out from your local market as well. Resellers are relatively sensitive in terms of who they partner with, and registrars, ICANN accredited registrars, are, you know, usually their first choice. So they would rather partner with you as a company if you were a registrar versus being a reseller. So it gives you that advantage as well. And obviously differentiation, right? There's going to be tons of resellers in the market out there, but there'll be very few ICANN accredited registrars, so you'll be able to stand out from among the crowd. Consumer and industry recognition, you have the ICANN accreditation mark on your website, and that's something that most registrars you know, show out there because it does represent stability and trust because you go through the entire review process before you get ICANN accredited. So you're obviously one company that is completely trustworthy. Every Whois request basically has the registrar's brand name. So every time a customer goes out there or anyone's looking for a domain name and does a Whois, they're going to see your registrar name over and over again. So it's an additional branding advantage and a market advantage from that perspective. Control and security, you have your own registrar policies, which obviously need to be in compliance with registry and ICANN policies, but you get to define them, thus giving you ultimate control over your domain portfolio. There are additional security measures that you have access to, which includes registrar-level locks. You have the ability and the option to consolidate domains that you have with different registrars out there under your own brand so that you can use, you know, the security and the policy aspects of it for your own portfolio of domains or your customer and resellers' domains. You have direct access to all registry commands, emails, notifications, and so you're always on top of everything that's going on and have access to everything. You own your customers completely. When you are a reseller, right, there is a registrar in the back end, and maybe you are the one servicing your you're the one servicing your customers, but they're still not completely yours from the perspective that there is a registrar, you know, at the back end. So being your own registrar gives you that ultimate control of owning your customers, and you have the option of treating VIP customers and VIP domains differently, right? You can offer them additional services like locking and everything else that you have direct access to at the registry level. So just summarizing this, an ICANN accreditation means directly or indirectly an increase in domain name sales, therefore an increase in allied services like hosting or website design, website builder, increase in your branding and brand advantage that you have out there, more control and security, and reduced costs. It also opens up a few additional revenue channels for you and gives you direct access to registry promos, thereby reducing your costs even further. Cool, so I think that's basically it. If you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Yes, this we're going to move into the other section after this, so this would be a good time if you want to ask either of these folks any questions about their experience or their, you know, the advantages and so forth, please feel free to ask. Yes? Can you please say your name and then your question?
Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Victor Donan. I'm from Cameroon. I'm here as a follow of the ICANN 42 fellowship program. One of my main objective while applying for that fellowship was to follow the process how to become an accredited ICANN accredited registrar, because as Mohamed told us this morning, there is only 5% of accredited registrar in the whole Africa. So I'm very proud to participate to this session. And my simple question is, I'm already a domain name reseller of Enon. I'm happy to have someone from Enon here. I would like to know how is the number of domain name you have to reach become before reaching to apply to become an accredited registrar. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll split it into two parts, and I think maybe Tim will help me on. To become an ICANN accredited registrar, you do not need any minimum number of domains to apply. What you as, you know, as a person, you as a reseller now to say, okay, do I want to become an ICANN accredited registrar and take the next step? I think that is a decision, one you would want to make financially. So you would say, okay, you know, as you Tim put up some of the slides and some of the costs that are fixed costs of being an ICANN accredited registrar, that if you said to yourself, if I think that I'm selling enough domain names that it can cover those costs and still keep yourself as a business, then I think it's a good idea, you know, to do something like that. But I think for a lot of people, it's a financial decision. And then also the other piece is a lot. So there are some other additional duties like the contracts and the other compliance duties that you becoming an ICANN accredited registrar, you would want to, you know, take on yourself. So if you say, okay, I have the people, I have the capabilities to do that, then I think it's, you know, it's a great decision. But I don't think there's, I can't say, as soon as you hit 2,000 domain names, then, you know, it's okay to, there's no magic number. I think it's for everyone, it's about what you're doing and what your goals are for a business. You know, but the most important thing to remember is you can add, the ICANN staff will explain to you those costs. There are some that are fixed. That we, you know, we've done a lot to give breaks and to give a lower fees for people that are smaller registrars. So when they're first starting out, but there are some numbers that are fixed. So you just have to take that into consideration. That no matter what, you have to make those payments. And if it can still keep you ahead as a viable business, then I think it's a great idea. Hopefully that answers your question.
It's okay. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? I think someone's in the chat room might have questions. Anybody that is following this presentation on Adobe Connect, if you have questions, we'd gladly entertain them as well. Okay, so the next segment we're going to go into is looking at the African experience. As Victor said, there's only 5 registrars currently in Africa, and one of the main reasons we are holding this workshop is we want to hope to encourage more people to get involved and find ways to do that. But I think there's also some realities that we need to keep in mind. And so Anne Rochelle is going to open this segment, and then we have 2 registrar speakers here, plus one of our speakers had to leave early because of a family emergency, and so he did write us a letter about his experience, and so I think after you do your introduction, you might read that for us, and then we'll go on to Mohammed and Victor. Thank you.
Thanks for the introduction, Tim, and good morning, everybody. My name is Anne Rochelle Linet, and as Tim said, I am the manager for regional relations in Africa. So basically, I deal on a daily basis with anywhere from governments to prospective registrar applicants to civil society, you know, private sector, name it. Everybody who wants to basically know about what ICANN is doing, and some of the things that I can also, you know, as a representative of the region, bring back to ICANN to say, hey, I heard people are, you know, flagging this one part or the other one. So in becoming a registrar, and you will hear this from Mohammed and Victor and probably a little bit Hamza. Hamza is not here with us as Tim said, because he had an emergency in his family. The 3 things that I see that are really hampering people in the process of becoming a registrar in the African region are, of course, connectivity, bandwidth, local regulations, and financial issues. As Tim said in one of his first slides, putting together some of the, not only the money, because the banking system in Africa is not as, let's say, evolved as the one that you see in developing countries. And in fact, it's actually quite different sub-region by sub-region. You know, what Hamza has as constraints in Morocco are not the same that Ni has in Ghana, which are totally different from what Victor have in Burundi. And, you know, Senegal with Hewo Mohammed, or South Africa. So regulations are totally different, and they have a lot of constraints to go through to get what is, what is considered an insurance, or even to get money, basically, to start a business. Especially when you're dealing with environments where people have no idea, in general, what is the domain name system and, how much you can make money in the domain business, so it's really hard for them to go basically convince, the banking system that they need money. And it's also one of the issues that actually has become very transparent with the joint applicant support working group inside ICANN for the new top-level domains. And this is one of the reasons why, developing country issues were brought up in the new GTLD process. We are working with some of the regional banks to see if there is any way, for example, of establishing a small investment fund for, developing country people who might be interested in setting up registries and registrars. But that's a long process, and it's something that started not a long time ago, because the issue came to the forefront, and now we're scrambling to see, some of the things that we can put together basically for the region representatives to be present also on that market. So we will see how that evolves. I have no definite answers yet, and I'll let Mohammed and Victor tell you a bit more about their personal experiences and tell you, how difficult or easy it was for them, basically, for their own local processes, to happen or not. So now I'm going to read, I think, what Hamza sent to us. And basically he says, my experience, he's recounting for us here his experience during the ICANN accreditation process. One of the things that we have also, in terms of making sure people understand the process of becoming an accredited registrar is to be able to render what ICANN has in the registrar accreditation agreement in their own language, but also, as comparing to their own laws, because, I guess Mohammed as a registrar in Senegal is subject to local laws as much as, some stuff that he needs to take care of at the international level with ICANN. So that really is a discussion that I have with prospective applicants in this region in different languages, because we have to reconcile their own, legal environment with the one that is being brought to them by ICANN. So Hamza says, I first contacted ICANN 6 years ago in 2005. I was 19 years old back then, and they were very kind and interested to have an ICANN accredited registrar in North Africa because there was still no one back then. When they sent me the requirements and all the elements we needed to get accredited, I was like, whoa, there is no way I could get this accreditation someday. But here we are 6 years later, with a lot of hard work, we have made it possible. We got an ICANN accreditation in June 2011, and I want to congratulate, Hamza and his colleagues, and I think the two young people who are sitting there are working with Hamza. So congratulations for that. And Hamza is online, so thanks, Hamza. Thanks for this. That was quite a memorable day and a special achievement for me and the rest of the team. Back in January 2011, we felt ready to start the process as we met all the requirements to become an accredited registrar. We had to help the help of a third-party company for registrar consultancy, and they offered the back end as well, which we needed once we got the accreditation. And simultaneously, I was in contact with the registrar liaison officer from the Belgian office of ICANN, and that's our dear colleague Steve Gobin, a very nice guy that was there when we needed him. It meant a lot to have an insider giving you precious advice and especially helping you with all the paperwork. It was not easy, and as a Moroccan company, we faced a few difficulties. The first one was all the paperwork, the application that needed to be fulfilled, and the technical back end, as I said, was taken care of by third-party consulting.
who were also very kind and supportive. And I think that was the more support you could get, the more people who you could get that trust you with your ideas, the more you're confident about yourself. The second one was the $70,000 that we had to demonstrate in cash in our bank account. And finally, the $1 million commercial liability insurance, $500,000 for ICANN, and $1 million that we needed later for .org, PIR. But when I think about it, we became accredited today not because of the 6 months process, but the 6 years of real hard work before that process even began. And I said earlier, I first wanted to be an ICANN registrar 6 years ago, and let me tell you that during that time, we weren't just crossing our fingers, but working hard to make it possible. We began as simple resellers of one of the largest registrars out there with over 11 million domains, and we were hoping we could get to the next stage someday and become as big as our provider. And now we are a registrar. We work twice as hard to offer our clients and resellers the best services they could ever expect. Yes, I can. Best regards, Hamza Abdulfeth. And so thank you, Hamza, for sending this. And we're with you, you know, and we're supporting you morally, you know, through the hardship you're going to. And I hope everything goes all right for you. I'm going to turn to next Mohammed, and Mohammed will tell us a bit more about some of the issues he had during this process. Thank you.
Can I just have quickly the...
Oh,
you need it.
Mohammed, we didn't have your slides, so we won't be able to show it to the people online.
Oh.
They won't be able to follow, but you'll need to speak what they show if you're going to show slides.
But you can have it quickly. If you show it.
Bear with us.
Or can you give to Vincent?
Do you have a presentation too?
Okay.
No. You have a presentation also?
Okay. Let me send it to you via
yeah.
email.
Yeah, send it there.
So while Mohammed is getting ready, does anyone in back or in front have any questions for Anne Rochelle? Yes.
Hello, good morning. Sorry for running late. I was in another session. My name is Ibrasila. I'm Senegalese. I'm managing director of AfricHosting.com. I'm based here. I'm a reseller. So my question is about how we can get accreditation in terms of finance very, very cheaply, because the African market is not that big as the European or the American ones. Here, our main problem is to explain people how they can help people to know their businesses, how a website is useful, why do they have to get a domain name, why do they have to have a website and be online, and that sort of things. It's very difficult for us to explain it, communities, mainly even businesses. So our main problem here in Africa, mainly in Senegal, is to have enough client to be able to sort out the financial requirements. This is my question. Thank you.
Well, at present there is no there's no variation on the fees except for the quarterly fees that for a small new registrar are reduced by 2/3. So instead of 1,100, you would pay around 300. But as far as you know, what we tend to talk about, for example, Jeff spoke earlier about building your business as a reseller, and then after you get to a certain size, then you consider going to the accreditation level when you have enough business to help offset the costs. But that's right now about the only real recommendation we can make, because we don't have variable fees.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Thanks. So one of the, you know, I always think about this, I think about this cartoon, you know, like a picture where there's two dogs, you know, sitting in front of the computer, and it says, you know, no one on the internet knows you're a dog. It's, you know, saying, so nobody knows. You don't have to say, I can only sell to people in Senegal, or I can only sell to people in there. I think if you heard that there's only a small number of registrars in Africa, and I don't want to group Africa, you know, and say, oh, if you can sell in one country, you can sell in others, but think maybe if you can, you know, to target other, maybe other areas where there's a common language, common culture, and try and maybe push beyond, instead of only saying, how do I educate the customers here, is to say, what the other way to do that is to expand maybe what your customer base is and where they are. You can sell, the beauty of the internet is you can sell to anyone, anywhere in the world, and especially as a registrar, you not actually, you don't have to ship a box to them. You know, it's, everything is just there. So I think that looking at other places, especially where here, where there is, seems like there's a very big opportunity to sell, and then hopefully once one person learns and some other people do, they start, you know, word of mouth and people telling everyone, well, I got a domain and I got my website, and maybe it helped my business. It's, you know, it's something that helps grow organically. I mean, nobody really advertised the internet, and it just, you know, it's something that grows organically from people. One person talks about how they're using it, another person tell them, and then it sort of builds that way. And it's a good way without having to spend a lot of money to sort of build your business.
Can I just go on the other way around?
Sure.
I'm just going on the opposite side of the argument for just one main reason. To be honest, if you push for that community just because they don't have enough resources in order to become an iconic registrar, they won't put any effort in order to protect the registrant who will be at the end. And what's happening in the African market is we get so many players who don't have any contractual, any legal paper towards the registrant or to ICANN. And at the end of the day, when a complaint file, when a registrant is desperate, what you get in front is not an actor who got responsibility toward the community. It's just a shock. So I think that the aspect of the capacity building in terms of understanding what their duties are, what their responsibilities are toward the community, is one of the critical aspects that we're missing. And that's really where the numbers of domain name is very weak, because a customer who wants to put his business in the hand of somebody who is responsible of nothing is really a headache that nobody can handle. So they decide not to go. So this is really one aspect that I want to share. I'm sorry, but it is, I'm not pushing for a reseller program. I'm pushing for, to find out ways for people who want to do the business to get in, to get the knowledge, to get the responsibility in order to protect the registrant who ultimately will be the one that's going to make the boom in the market. Thank you for that just excursion on that point. I'm just going to present very briefly because we don't have maybe enough time to go through these things, but thank you. Okay. So let's come quickly in the context and the history. I think that what Atef from Genius Communication have said, I think that these things happen to all the other registrars who get into the market. In 2005, in fact, I was on the board of ICANN, and I spent 4 years there, and I look at the numbers and I say, wow, look at this. All these actors, at that time it was something like 900. I look at, and no African, no single African company in the registrar list. I say, but where the money is flowing? Even if it is a one penny per domain name, it's not going to any African actors. And my question was not from a technical perspective, but from an economic perspective. I say African, well, deserve more than just being a client, a customer in that other space. They have to be actors, become players, and just get, from an economic perspective, some revenue remaining in the country. And when I look at the pricing in the market, it's very easy to understand. If you have 5 level of actors in a market, if the price of a domain name from the registry is $7, everybody know here that in Africa, there was time where you can buy a domain name for over $200 or even more, just because the first actor is not in the country. He's a registrar. And he got another contractor who is the first level reseller. And that reseller has another contractor who will be the third and the fourth level resellers. And at the end of the day, the customer who is the registrant, he get in front of him somebody who's going to ask him for $1,000 to get a domain name and a one-page website. And he signed the contract. But the most problematic ways is the economic aspect, the legal aspect, the responsibility, and how we're going to make that market being really a clear and, you know, well-structured market. And I say, well, I think that my challenge was really to sort it out, but it's not only the responsibility of one person, and it's really what made me get into it in 2007 when I stepped from the board and I get no responsibility in terms of regulating at all and deciding. So if you look at the numbers, in 93, how many domain names we got, and now in 2011, more than 220 million domain names. And if you look at the penetration in Africa, even slow. You see, you look at the CCTLD, I mean, you got some numbers. Senegal, 3,000 out of 15 million people. The penetration is ridiculous. You take Mali, less than 2,000. Niger, Anne Rachel, she did not spend many time in her country, so she cannot push for them to reach more than 5,000 domain names in her country. The U.S. is getting more benefit from her knowledge and presence than her country. So in all the other countries, you get 200, 300, so it's ridiculous. But we're talking about economy. I mean, we're talking about a whole digital economy for our continent. And if people don't have a domain name for any purpose, it might be economic, it might be for social, it might be for a community purpose. If they don't have access to that resource, imagine how many dollars they want to spend and on top of what they're going to spend it. So it's mathematics. We really need to look at the figures. So I think that the previous actor come on the numbers, like the on the ICANN list we have 995 active registrar listed on the ICANN website. You only have 5 ICANN active registrar in Africa. It is less than 5%. So, and the economy in itself is a layered economy. We're talking about the second layer, that is the naming and the numbers. And for the numbers, we sorted out is Afrinet. But for the name, we need to get a well and proper structure to get the domain name to the registrant in a very controlled and proper structure. It means registry, registrar, and the end user. We don't have that figure right now in the market. And if you don't have that, there was a lack of trust, there was a lack of confidence between the actors, the people who want to get a domain name, and the ICANN structure as a whole. And this is really what is missing. So, but where is the potential? We are in a continent where the languages, where the IDN potential is much higher than in many other places. It means if somebody wants to become a registrar, don't be afraid. Don't listen to somebody who told you there was no business. The potential of business is huge. In Africa, if you look at the penetration of domain name, it means there's so many small business, SME, entrepreneurs, individuals who want to get exposure to the internet, but they don't know how to make it. They don't have interface. They don't have the knowledge. Look at all this potential. It's for us. It's for the registrar. I mean, we are part of that global change that needs to be done. If you're not there, I mean, we will be in a market that is not attracted, and a market needs rules. A market needs responsibility. If it doesn't happen, I mean, people will feel that it's much better to keep out of it rather than to get into it. So IDN is a huge potential of growth for the registrar in the African market. This is just a message. I'm not going to go in detail regarding that. But when we talk about potential, look at the potential. 10% of the African people have access to the internet. It means 90% are waiting to be guided, to be trained, to be introduced, in order to get money back from the internet, not only to pay, but to get revenue out of it. These are the challenges. And from the business perspective, I think that there's a lot of things that need to be done in the national level. And these things have to be done through a process of awareness, of guidance, make the decision-maker people understand that they're all fighting to get a CCTLD as a national resource. That's legitimate. But it's also legitimate to define a well-structured business model between registry registrar in order to get the market, get the right answer in terms of interaction. Because if in a country, if you keep the domain name just for university or social or civil society or just one private sector without that response at the national level, it means the market will ask and there was no local interaction and presence in order to push things to happen. So the model needs to be defined. In many countries, the CCTLD model did not have a registrar business model. Some of them, you buy the domain name directly to the CCTLD. But for the GTLD, it's clear you cannot get a domain name out of the registrar model. You cannot go to the registry in order to get a domain name. So market need to be structured. It's our role. We cannot let just things move the way it's done. The second thing is online registration need to be analyzed. Like, do you know how many people in African country got a credit card or a bank account? So it's not the case. So we need to deal with local issues like direct interaction, cash payment, local identification. All these processes need to be challenged locally and not through international or external process. So we need to deal with all the payment issues existing. Don't block yourself. Payment can be done online. Payment can be done cash to cash. Mobile payment is a huge avenue that can be used always to help the domain name business being really close to the registrant, that is the end users. So these are the challenges that you guys who want to become in that business, these are the ways that you can make a lot of money out of it. These are the ways to have an answer to the local registrant who want to set up their business online and who don't have nobody they can talk to. I mean, these are the opportunity we get in front. And I'm just going to end up with a lot of challenges that these registrants have now in terms of response is the identification, because maybe you don't know that, but many of the registrants, when they get a domain name, the name that is on the Hui site is not the name of the owner, because they pay the reseller. The reseller put his name as the owner of the domain name, and after it become a big problem when dispute comes. So dispute resolution is there. Law enforcement need to be done. Capacity building need to be done. Payment facility need to be implemented. And I think that I'm just going to stop there, because I'm not just raising the issue in terms of making these people being threat of jumping into the business, but it means there's a lot of things that need to be coordinated, but by appropriate people who sign contract that get responsibility and protect the registrant at the end of the day. Because don't forget that everything we're trying to set up, if at the end of the day the African people who you get in front is not able to get an environment to sort dispute resolution and to give him choice to change from registrar to another, from one partner to another, we will mess up the whole market. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Dr. Jeff Al-Hajj,
we're in Senegal, so we're speaking Wolof. I said, thank you. Thanks, Mohamed, for this good introduction. I'm going to give the mic directly to Victor, so he can tell us a bit more about his experience. Victor comes from Burundi, as he was telling you, and Burundi is more like Central Africa.
Before we get started, the people that are on remote, we're loading Victor's presentation, so you'll be able to follow it, but it's not quite there yet.
Thank you, Anne-Rachel, for giving the floor. Most of what I had to say has been said by my colleague Mohamed. Before I speak, that I have to mention that we here are three accredited registrars present. I think that you said that there was a representative from Morocco as well here, so we are four registrars present here. Mohamed, I think Kowel is the registrar. Mine is a free register. And here is Nikwainor, Ghana.com. So I think that you have been engineers from Morocco. We also have the fifth ICANN accredited registrar who's South African. Is it Internet Solutions? Mm-hmm. Internet Solutions. So in Africa, we have challenges to not only to become ICANN accredited registrar, but also to operate as accredited registrars as well, as Mohamed said. So I might repeat what has been said, but let me try to summarize. It is only a few slides. I'm going to talk about the challenges and benefits in the African context, which is our purpose now. Among the challenges, we have the finance, the insurance, the human resources, the market, the infrastructure, competition. Also, the laws have been mentioned. I won't go to cover this one. It has been said, but it is only a few points I'm going to talk about. Concerning finance, it was said that we have to display an ability to have a minimum of $70,000 as capital, working capital. Is this easy? Is it not easy? I think it depends on the registrar who's going to apply. For me, when I applied, it wasn't a big concern, but it might be a concern for somebody. But what is most critical here in the other parts, the interaction with the banking system, which Anne-Rachel talked about, getting a loan is a headache because we are in a market of intangible assets, intangible goods. A traditional banking system has been used to physical assets, so you cannot offer your intangible assets as collateral. So you have to have some other assets which you can offer to the bank. The other thing is that for the bank to understand the business, it is not easy either. Traditional banks are used to offer loans for imports, exports, for some agriculture activities, but in terms of IT business, they are not used. They are used to telecommunications, but usually telecommunications do not need loans. They are the creditors for the banks. So for the registrars and the internet business in general, it is not easy to have funding. Another hurdle is the credit card availability, credit card system in Africa, it's almost absent. I don't know how my colleagues did, but myself, I had to do some acrobatic exercise to get a credit card because we do not have the credit card system in our country. And I noticed that in East Africa, the credit card system is only local. So you cannot operate in the international environment with our credit card system. So I had to use some arrangements to have a credit card from an outside bank. So, when it comes to the online payments, which Mohammed talked about, it is not an easy system either, because you have to have a credit card to operate online usually, and you can have a number of mechanisms like PayPal, like other online payments. I don't know. There are many which are developing, but in Africa, the online payments are almost absent. And when it comes to PayPal, you can operate very on a limited basis. Then you have a limitation in terms of amounts allowed, and you also cannot operate for international operations like what we are doing now. And you have to show that you have an international credit card which is readily available for transactions and for eventually control, because the fraud is very, very critical in the online payments. I had to change two times my credit cards because it was intercepted in the system. So it is another challenge. Say more about finance, about the insurance. In my view, for a starter of the of a registrar, unless he has other operations, to me it is not necessary to have a coverage of $1 million, which .org is asking for an African. In the African context, we do not have. The business is not yet developed, so to have a liability of $1 million, it is a kind of occurrence which is very rare. So I think that ICANN should help us reduce the amount of coverage required, and I think that a figure of maybe $500,000, which ICANN is requesting, might be a limit which might be sufficient, not $1 million in my view. So you might wish to consider this request for the new applications from the third world at least, and for Africa in particular. And as I said here on the screen, the business for insurance industry is new, like for the banking system. So to get the insurance myself with a coverage of $1 million, it was like something which was unusual in Africa. And I had to demonstrate it was necessary, and to get the insurance coverage in my country, they had to get coverage from the African Air Insurance Corporation, Africa Re. And the amount of premium was a bit higher as compared to what the other registrars are paying. I don't know what my colleagues paid, but I paid at least four times what the others pay. But as I was passionate about the business, and it was the first time I had to pay for that, I did pay. But as time goes on, people become educated, and the insurance now becomes familiar to this type of business. Next slide talks about the human resources challenge. Human resources challenge. You see, in Africa, the internet is a new industry. We do have some IT professionals in telecom, in software development, and in other areas. But for internet, you have very specific requirements, like the DNS management, like all these transactions which happen in a networked environment. And this is new. What we had to do for AfriRegister, we had to train people in as much as we could. And we had to use a third-party consultancy. Logic boxes, I can mention, has been very helpful to us and until now. And locally, we had trained people. We have trained a number of people. But the problem we have now is that the people we train have to leave. Some to, I mean, for getting training outside the country. We had we've had 4 people well trained, but who had to go outside to do their master's degrees in Canada and somewhere else. But this is something which we appreciate a lot, because human capacity building is something which is critical to us. And where they are, they always can assist. And we at AfriRegister consider that training is part of our responsibility as well. So the human capacity, human resources, is also a critical factor which we should take into account. And the other challenge is the market. Mohamed talked about the issue. The market is new, and you saw the figures about the penetration and so on. And to us, it is a very big challenge to get people aware of what the internet represents for tomorrow's business. To me, I see the business in the future. For the time being, it is a kind of developing the environment. And I think the potential is, Mohamed said earlier, the potential is huge. The potential is huge, and we have to do a lot of effort to, and we have to demonstrate a lot of patience to, to let the business grow, to have the people become aware of the potential, educate the, all the spheres of the society to make the market ready. So in my view, I think that the work we are doing is not only for making money. It is a work which is concerned with development, developing our industry in Africa. And I think that to me, it is a question of passion, and we have to demonstrate that we have patience to do that. For the market, we have to train people. We have to train all the segments, administration, the government, the civil society, the academia, and so on. I think that the potential is there, but we have to be patient. Another challenge is about the infrastructure. I won't repeat. But in the particular case of Burundi, the power supply is another headache, because we have a number of shortages. We have electricity, from the from the public company only once in every 2 days, and we have to have our own generators, which have to be ready almost 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. So it means that we have to pay the cost. But in my case, I think that I have an advantage that I have also an ISP which provides connectivity, and as such, we share the cost of the power supply, the power coming from the generators. So I think that we have challenges. the other challenge is about competition, the international competition. We have the international registrars outside. When you go to GoDaddy, you would find that the fee you pay to get a name registered, if you apply the same fee, you cannot make money. Because I think sometimes they apply a fee which is lower than what, they have a kind of marketing mix, because they have other services which they offer, and they say that they offer the registration at lower than even $7. So to us it is something which is very difficult to follow. But I must mention that for the time being, to me, the generic domain names is not the major concern. The major concern today is to set up the right environment, the right platforms, and the right training for people to get them ready. And we also concentrate on the CCTLD development in Africa. You know that the CCTLD business in Africa is also at its very early age. So we have to interact with all the stakeholders of the internet for us to develop the market globally. Thank you.
Hi. Merci beaucoup, Victor. Thanks so much, Victor. And we're normally scheduled to finish at 12, but the room is actually free for us to use, so we can stay a little bit more and, cater to the questions if you wish, and if anybody wants to leave, it's still fine. So thanks, Victor, for this. In between Victor and Mohammed, I think we've got an overview of some of the constraints that they have. And I'm just going to ask Nii, do you recognize yourself at all in some of the things that your two colleagues said? And or do you want to add something to that? Thank you.
Thank you. I see myself in their messages very clearly, and certainly must be a fairly common challenge that we are facing. I think a high-volume, low-price business is one that poses difficult problems for a region that is just beginning to build up its user base. But beyond that, all these are real. In fact, there are additionally regulatory challenges, mostly because of ignorance. I remember the ministry telling me doing becoming a registrar may actually be conflicting with their CCTLD. But that took me 6 months to assure them that that may actually enhance it. So I mean, there's a mixed bag of issues, and but it's been very well covered.
Thank you, Dee. And as you've heard, I think, from everybody, one of the issues that we have is that in the region, also, country code top-level domains are not really structured in a way that they a lot of times allow for, you know, the regular setup that we see in new GTLDs, which is registry, registrar, registrant. A lot of times they have resellers that are, you know, local ISPs or even cyber cafes sometimes. And as Mohammed said, then comes the issue of making sure that, you know, if somebody registers a domain for somebody else, but under their name, like the owner of a cyber cafe, and then issues rise afterward, that becomes a real concern, because you have to also think that this is an area where the legislature and a lot of the judicial in this region are not really ready, you know, to take care of those type of disputes, for example. So I'm just going to give you the floor now, and questions, welcome, or comments.
Anne Rochelle, I just wanted to thank Jeff. He has to leave now, but I want to thank him for participating. I want to thank all of the participants. Yeah. And as I said, we can stay for a few more minutes if people have questions, but I just wanted to make sure that you didn't leave without us thanking you.
Yeah,
so
no, thank you, everybody. Thanks for participating, and this was a panel I'm happy to be on. And I know I have to run out now, but I'll be around here till late tomorrow night, so if you see me in the halls and you want to ask me another question or come talk to me, please do.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Yes.
Yes, we received some of the presentations just at the beginning of this workshop, so they aren't uploaded on the website yet, but we will be uploading them. So for those of you here in the room or those of you remotely, if you just log into the schedule, the schedule will remain up forever, I think, accessible online. But if you log in a day or two, you should be able to see all of the presentations that we had today, and you can download them if you want to follow up or share them with colleagues. So if there aren't any questions, then we do. Yes, please, go ahead. Was it Victor or somebody over there had a question?
No. Well, I'm just concerned regarding financial matters, because once again, you have to remind that African countries generally don't have the same power in terms of financial manner than European or American people. That's one thing you need to bear in mind. The other thing as well is, as I said earlier, in our area, we have to explain a lot more times companies, people, businesses to understand the usefulness of getting a website to promote their businesses. It's different, far different to American countries and European countries. So, as you know, resellers are okay. As you know, resellers are one of the actors that make the system up and running correctly, smoothly, and successfully. I think that for developing countries, I would have to have a flexible policy for them in order to help resellers to become accredited, because it's very important to become accredited resellers. If you can think about these kind of things for mainly resellers from developing countries, that would be good. Thank you.
So, Ibra, if I may chip in here, and I'm going to give you the same type of response I gave, when we had the experts meeting, which is that there's so much I can do when there's already, there are things that have been established basically with the community of registrars. This is one way. You guys can go there and plead for yourselves to see, what the community of registrars is ready to do for you. One other avenue that we have been using with Mohammed and a few of you guys is to make sure that we go talk to, the financial system people, okay? And this is an ongoing discussion, as I said before. We are talking to the African Development Bank, who may end up talking to some of those regional banks, or some that are, let's say, present in quite a few countries in Africa, like Ecobank or BOA or any of the others, to say it would be really to your own advantage, or we can give you a little bit of backing, so you can help them and all of that. So there are avenues, and, ICANN is not the only one deciding in this process. We have to also, I think, for people from this region, be able to fare for ourselves, it's also up to you guys to actually go convince, you know, a banker with a business plan that this is sound, that it can make money, you know. And so it's all these avenues together in parallel that we have to explore, I think, to make that happen. And it's not, your question is not going to dead ears, I promise you. Mohammed?
Okay. Maybe, Tim, it's just maybe an information that in the spirit of organizing that part of the business in Africa, because in other part we have seen already that there was an organization of registrar per region that tried to exchange experience and get a better implication and participation in the ICANN process. In Africa, from the five registrars that have already been accredited by ICANN, four of them already meet and agree to set up an African ICANN accredited registrar organization in order to help. One of our goals, and we want to be clear, is to be able to find ways with the ICANN organization that maybe in 1 year or two we will not see 5% of registrar in the market space in Africa, but 20% at least. So our goal is at least every single country will have between three to four registrar per countries that will help get a more structured market in order to better serve the community. Whether it can be a relationship between registrar and the CCTLD or registrar and GTLD. So this is almost an announcement of that setup of this organization, and we'll be very keen in the future to send you all the information need in order to help get everybody who want to be accredited the ways to go. If we can find also partners, as Andra shall have said, we'll be much more efficient in terms of helping as a global movement rather than just individuals trying to find out ways to go forward. So, Tim, this is maybe a communique that you can receive regarding that setup, and I think that it will be for the benefit of the whole African community.
Thanks, Mohammed. One more AF star. Go, Africa. That's how we call them, actually. AfriNIC, AfNOG, AFTLD, AfriISPA, now AfriRegistrar.
Yes.
That's how you call it? AF Registrars. These are all our AF stars, you know, in the internet world. Great. Congratulations. And I'm really hoping that we can work together to, you know, bring those issues basically to the fore and in the communities in general, but especially, I guess, to, you know, what is dear to anybody who wants to be in this business in terms of, you know, financial issues and also, you know, domain name issues related to things that you face at home with the country code top-level domain. So, any other questions? Victor?
Thank you very much, Michelle. It's just a comment. I would just like to emphasize what the presenter says concerning capacity building, because it's not just talking about business or getting money with domain name. Is also know what domain name industry function, because as Mohammed said, it's also knowing about how domain name industry is function and how it's governed, because if we all only focus about financial issue, people can have money and get involved and not understand how domain industry function, and would create more problem to registrant than solving it. So that's just what I have to say. So that's why I came here, because before getting involved, you have to know very well the business you are going to enter. So thank you.
Thanks very much, Victor. And you're right. And thank God. I mean, there are quite a few things that we're doing in terms of outreach, you know, in the region on, you know, the domain name part. Afrinic has been teaming with us, you know, to go ahead and tell the good numbers on IP addresses. And, you know, the whole internet governance issue, if you were in Nairobi, two, 3 weeks ago, you will have heard that, you know, it was a very vibrant meeting with 2,000 participants from around the world and quite a few Africans who are really trying to grasp what internet governance in general means and relate it to what ICANN does in our mission, what is, you know, the domain name system in general, but also what are domain names, the new GTLD process, and all of that. So, you know, we are absolutely working, you know, with the rest of the AF stars, as I just told you, to make sure that the word is out, that the communities are learning each part of the business to be able to reconcile it as, you know, what is happening in that structure of ICANN that you see every day. Thank you. More questions? Nope. Well, thank you so much. Thank you all for coming. And, you know, thanks to all our friends for, you know, giving a hand from the registrar industry. Thanks, Tim, for putting this together. This was the first time that we are doing something for registrars in the region, and I hope it's not the last. You know, now that I guess you've tasted it, you will want that to happen again and again. So, you know, we are here for your questions. If you have any questions at all, you can send emails to Steve, that some of you guys know, Steve Gobin in Brussels, myself, and Tim. You know, and we will make sure that, you know, your questions are answered. So thank you all for coming.
And one more something I neglected to say earlier, but there is a wealth of information on the ICANN website, and it's translated into French and other languages also. But if you go to the main ICANN webpage, and then at the top there's a drop-down box, and one of the things is Registrar Accreditation Overview. And that page has links to the financial requirements, to how to apply, and a lot of more information. And so please take time to look at that, and you'll have a lot more to learn there. Thank you. And if you have questions, as Anne-Rachel said, please feel free to write. And we have an email address on that webpage to who you can write to. Thank you.